unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, A Token of His Presence, was written by Mark Siegel. It is presented in commemoration of the 40th birthday of the United States Children's Bureau and to mark the 5th anniversary of UNICEF, the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund. In the darkness which at times covers the earth, God's face is hidden from the view of man. To reassure ourselves, we must look beyond the darkness to seek for a token of God's presence. There is a token of his presence in the compassion which a child's pain arouses in the human heart. The psalmist has said it simply, Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou established strength.
Yes, child.
Mamasha, I'm hungry.
I know, child.
But Mamasha, I'm hungry.
I know, child.
But Mamasha, what can we do?
We can wait, child. Don't cry, Auntie. No, cry. Maybe it's better that you cry. Perhaps they will come sooner. Who can do nothing when he hears the sound of a child crying?
The world is born again with each new generation, and each new generation is an affirmation of the future. But in 1946, the children of Europe who had been victims of Nazi aggression had lost their birthright to the future. In 14 countries, the languages were different, but the dialogue was universal. 30 million children cried for help. Their cry was heard throughout the world. In December 1946, it reached the Assembly Hall of the United Nations.
It is my government's belief that honest differences of opinion are to be expected in a conclave of the nations. No one will deny that this expectation has been fulfilled. But the differences of opinion between certain blocks of member nations need not be emphasized. If we are to achieve the high ideals of peace and unity among peoples, we must start by finding an area of agreement, no matter how small. I ask the distinguished delegate who has just spoken, is there not, among all the grave issues to be considered by this assembly, some single question on which all of the nations can agree?
The representative of India asks if there is a question on the agenda on which all nations can agree. There are three such questions. If children are sick, shall we heal them? If children are naked, shall we clothe them? If children are hungry, shall we feed them? On these three questions, we can all agree.
A token of his presence. A few days later, on December 11th, 1946, the Assembly voted on a resolution to establish an International Children's Emergency Fund.
Mr. Secretary? Will you announce the vote on the resolution?
Yes, Mr. President. On the resolution to establish UNICEF, the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund. The resolution has been passed unanimously.
The experts gathered and, eyeing a paltry budget, asked themselves...
Good morning, gentlemen. Where do we start?
Well, first with food.
That's right. High-protein food. Meat, fish.
No, there isn't any meat or fish. Besides, it's too expensive.
Well, we'll start with milk.
Well, there are no cows. The dairy herds are war casualties, too.
All right, we'll start with powdered milk.
Well, that's good. That's easy to handle. Powdered whole milk or powdered skim milk?
Well, on this budget, powdered skim milk. It's not much, but it has many of the vitamins that they need.
How do we transport it?
Jeeps, flat-bottom river boats, anything that can hold cartons.
And where there are no roads or rivers?
Well, we'll use animals. Donkeys, horses, reindeer, anything.
And where there are no animals?
Look, this milk is for the children. If there are no beasts of burden, there'll be men.
The men are old and tired.
You're right. But this is a load they'll carry with their heads up and a song in their hearts.
In the mountains of Yugoslavia and in ruined Italian villages, in France and Belgium and the rubble that was Poland, they built the fires and filled the pots with good, clean water. And when the water reached the right temperature, the milk powder, which somehow had got there, was measured into it and stirred until it foamed. One by one, the children came, uncertain.
What is this? White coffee?
Yes. If you've never seen milk before, you could call it that.
It tastes good. You say it's white?
Yes, little girl, it's white. Drink it. And take this capsule. After a while, your blindness will go away and you'll see that milk is white. Milk became a symbol of man's concern for the world's children. 24 billion quarts of milk. It coursed like a stream of energy and hope through the bodies of millions of children. And as their strength returned, the strength of all the people of the world grew greater. Some children even found the energy to make a joke.
Do you know what UNICEF means?
All right, I bite. What does UNICEF mean?
UNICEF is the American word for cow.
It wasn't only powdered milk that was sent by willing hands. From the cupboards of Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the United States, the only cupboards that were full, came wheat and cod liver oil and shark liver oil to cure temporary blindness due to lack of vitamin A in meat. In the first year, 3 million children were fed. And when the food ran out, the effort turned to clothing.
These are for you, son. Take them.
These shoes? For me?
Also this overcoat.
I thank you.
Use them well. Next! You better move along now, son. Next boy is coming up.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm going.
Wait a moment. Is something wrong?
Wrong? No, nothing is wrong. I was remembering what I used to think before you came.
What did you think?
Well, I used to think in this world it is better to be born an animal than a child.
You really thought that?
Yes. You see, animals don't lose their clothes unless they lose their lives.
But that's over. What do you think now?
Oh, now it's different. Would you be giving beautiful shoes like these to an animal?
UNICEF, an agent for our conscience and our love, distributed 2 million pairs of shoes, 1 million suits and dresses, blankets by the thousands, overcoats and woolen underwear. Some of the children of Europe, at least, were clothed after a fashion and fed after a fashion. But still to be grappled with was war's lingering ally.
My boy coughs, Doctor. His collar is good, but he coughs all the time.
For this one, it was too late. Vaccination against tuberculosis can be used only when there is no trace of infection. But in 1948, a small country, Denmark, began a mass program of vaccination. The adults of the world heard the children coughing as they had heard them crying. From all countries, men and women responded to the call for volunteers.
You've received your assignment?
Yes, I go with my team to Poland. Where will you work?
Italy.
It seems we go everywhere. Greece, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Finland.
Tuberculosis is everywhere. Before we're done, we'll vaccinate 50 million children.
You speak good English. You are from England?
No, America. And you?
I'm an Austrian.
Well, look, you don't have to hesitate. We're not enemies anymore.
Yes, I know. When we carried guns, we marched against each other. Now that we carry medicines for the children, we are marching together.
The vision of Isaiah was, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and a little child shall lead them. For the love of little children, the nations of the world came together and marched together in a mission of mercy. Other international relationships deteriorated, and the controversy between East and West deepened. But in December 1950, the General Assembly of the United Nations voted to continue UNICEF. And this time, there was a new target. The emphasis was to be on aid to the children of Asia, Latin America, and the Middle East. Darkness and light are commingled in the life of man on Earth. And these are the statistics of darkness in the far countries of the world.
India, 500,000 children die each year from infectious pulmonary tuberculosis.
Korea, 8 million children stand homeless and in rags before the ruins of controversy.
Millions of children in Southeast Asia are malarial. In Pakistan, 1/2 of all the children die before reaching the age of 10.
1 out of every 4 children in northern Syria shows signs of active syphilis.
In 9 states of Brazil, the infant mortality rate is 308 out of every 1,000.
In Afghanistan, Burma, Ceylon, China...
You're tired of the place names and the figures? I can't blame you. A child is no statistic. A child is a warm and living thing, delicate, fragile, capable of crying. A child is the original you, the you before you learn to compromise. And if, despite the odds, we have refused to compromise in the battle against children's misery, though God's face be hidden, is this not a token of his presence? The enemy we fight in 2 far separated areas of the world, in Southeast Asia and in Haiti, is yours. Y-A-W-S. Yours. Doctor, can you describe the symptoms?
Certainly. It consists of a skin eruption of ulcers, which may cover the whole body.
Is it contagious?
Very. Usually the first ulcers appear on the soles of the feet. Very painful condition. The patient has to walk on the sides of his feet so that his gait is something like a crab's. We call this crab yaws. It's an early stage of the disease.
And the late stages?
Well, if you don't mind, I'd rather not describe the later stages. I've seen them.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In Indonesia alone, there are an estimated 2 million cases of yaws. The disease has been well entrenched for more than 500 years. UNICEF medical teams are now crusading against yaws, holding clinic after clinic throughout the countryside. In the center of a clearing surrounded by bamboo and banana palms, there is a rude thatch-roofed clinic. Outside, cross-legged on the red earth, the children sit, waiting for the treatments to begin. A nurse steps out into the tropical sun.
All right, young fellow, it's your turn now.
A 10-year-old rises painfully. He hobbles toward the hut, walking on the sides of his feet. Crab yours.
What's your name, son?
Tumali.
Don't be afraid, Tumali. It won't hurt much. Tell me, Tumali, when you're better, what will you do first?
Climb the trees. I want to hear the song of the Kutulongs. Their nests are high.
Yes, I know, Tumali. I've heard the song of the Kutulongs. And you know, when I was a little girl, I used to climb the trees, too. Oh, doctor, here's your first patient. His name is Tumali.
The doctor examines the child's feet, turns to the sterilizer. The hypodermic needle is checked. The penicillin is white in the syringe. Tumali straddles the chair and bares his buttocks. The Kutulangs are already singing for Tumali. Soon he will be able to climb the trees again. You see, 2 shots, just 2 shots of penicillin can cure yours. By the best guess, yours will be gone from Indonesia in 10 years. And this is part of the power which springs from the world's work for children, that we project ourselves into the future, that we work today knowing that there will be a tomorrow. In some corners of the world, tomorrow has already come, as it did to the island of Amapala. The wide seas wash the shores of Amapala and its faces freshened by Pacific breezes. But not so long ago, inside each island hut, the smoke hung thick enough to choke a man.
Maria, Maria, for the love of heaven, stamp out the smudge fire.
Without the smudge fire, there is no smoke.
Better the mosquitoes than the smoke.
There. It is as I told you. They are back.
See, they are back. Every day they are back. Every hour they are back.
It does no good to complain.
To complain, no. But to leave, see.
Jorge, it is the fever that guides your tongue.
I tell you, there is a curse on Amapala. We must leave like the others.
No, no, Jorge. Rest now. You will see. When you are no longer
when
sick...
When I am no longer sick, I will be dead.
No, Jorge. Do not say that.
When I am dead, who will feed Leonidas? Who will feed Heraldina? When I am dead, will the mosquitoes feed our children?
Papa, do you believe what the noticia says?
What does it say, Heraldina?
It says the men, they are coming to kill all the insects. It says, take everything from the walls and cover up all the food.
For us, that will not be hard. In this house, there is nothing on the walls, and there is little food.
Only that?
Yep, that's it, little girl. DDT.
You are finished?
Yep, all done.
But the mosquitoes, they are still there. I can hear them.
Give it a second. You'll see.
Mamita! Mamita, the mosquitoes, they are gone. Can you hear the quiet?
Salvador, you have come back to Amapala.
Why not, Jorge? Is there anywhere soil like this? But when I left, you had the fever.
The ones who killed the mosquitoes. They brought also medicine to kill the fever.
See, it will be different now for all on Amapala.
Different for all of us. And is it not strange, Salvador? The noticios, they said the men were coming to help the children.
Did they not help the children?
Oh, see, see.
Then what is strange, Jorge?
Well, it is strange that they came to help the children, but the children are alone, are why they came. And the children are stronger than we. Strong enough to do what we could not do. Lift the curse from Amapala.
In the backward countries of the world, the enemy is ignorance as well as disease. Recognizing that this work is for tomorrow, the battle is carried forward to educate the mothers of the coming generation. The nurse goes out by jeep or boat, walks the last 5 miles across the paddy fields that wet the legs to the knee, and enters the isolated village in the heart of Burma.
Here, let me show you how to hold your baby.
It is my baby. You do not have to show me. I have had babies before.
I know. But we want this baby to grow up healthy and strong. Is this his first bath?
Yes.
But the water's cold. Why don't you try warm water for the baby's bath?
My mother used cold water.
How many children did your mother have?
10.
How many are alive now?
2.
Then use warm water for the bath.
Warm water is good luck?
Yes. Warm water is very good luck. This is a thermometer. You take the baby's temperature with it.
Thermometer?
Thermometer.
Thermometer is good luck?
Yes. Thermometer is very good luck. Ah. Your baby's very quiet today.
Yes, quiet.
Did you take his temperature today? Did you use the thermometer?
Yes. I use thermometer. No temperature.
Did you keep the mosquitoes away the way I showed you with the net?
Yes, I use net.
Has he had his vitamins, the food he's supposed to?
Yes.
Good. Well, let's have... Well, did anything seem wrong with him this morning?
Nothing wrong. Only cry, cry, cry.
He cried?
Cry loud. Too loud.
Too loud?
Yes.
Look here. Tell me the truth. Did you give the baby anything besides the things I told you to?
Oh, yes. Baby cries so much, I want to keep him quiet. I give him opium. Opium is very good luck.
Slowly, for love of the children, the mothers learn that opium is not good luck. And slowly, for love of the children, in 60 countries of the world, perhaps mankind learns something, too. Listen, for this, in a time of darkness, is a catalog of understanding.
Coconut oil from the Philippines is processed into margarine by Czechoslovakia. The recipients, children in Italy and Austria.
England sends leather for the feet of children in Bulgaria.
Hungary pays the cost of shipping medical supplies across Europe.
Paper from Finland makes the record cards.
Czechoslovakia prints the cards, which will record the growing health of children in France and Germany and Greece.
From New Zealand, a gift of wool to Finland.
From New Orleans, cotton for clothing in Japan.
Meat from Montevideo to Trieste. Fish from Quebec to Helsinki.
For these, the barriers are down and the boundary lines melt away. Are you wondering how it's been done?
Count first the human spirit. Count the doctors, nurses, midwives. Count the teachers and the workmen. The pastors, rabbis, priests. Count all the 30,000 in the 60 countries who carry forward the crusade.
In 5 years, the people and governments of the world have contributed $165 million for the work of UNICEF. The funds have come as zlotys, francs and rupees, pesos, pounds and krona, but, and of this we may be proud, mainly as dollars. The United States has ever been concerned with the welfare of children. The true test of compassion, however, is the extent of its reach. America's compassion for children has been without limit. It has been as broad and as varied as the cries which have evoked it. On the 9th of August, 1951, in Washington, D.C., a messenger carried a letter to the clerk of the House of Representatives of the United States.
Document number 704, communication from the President of the United States.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I am writing to ask that the Congress authorize a contribution of $12 million by the United States to the International Children's Emergency...
The Senate passed the bill unanimously. The House referred the measure to a committee where it awaits consideration. It is a decision which will be felt throughout the world. Listen, this is Mrs. Zena Harman, Delegate of Israel to the Third Committee of the UN General Assembly.
A world fund devoted to the needs of children in distress cannot contemplate applying itself to half measures and unfinished projects. What has been commenced must be continued.
And this is Senor Galo Plaza, President of Ecuador.
If this were the UN's only achievement, it has succeeded. If you ask the children of the world, they would agree.
They can and do agree.
Thank you, UNICEF. Danke schön, UNICEF.
Grazie, UNICEF.
Merci, UNICEF.
Gracias, UNICEF.
Rabbi, UNICEF.
Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou established strength. From all lands and in all languages, they voice their thanks to the United Nations. They are still young. They do not know that it is they who give and we who receive. The greatest gift they offer us is the reassurance that God is at work in the affairs of men. For the compassion which the pain of children arouses in us is a token of his presence.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Martha Elliott, Chief of the United States Children's Bureau. Dr. Elliott.
5 years ago, UNICEF sent me to Europe to find out what were the most desperate needs of the children of those countries. I rejoice that I had a part in planning UNICEF's first program of milk distribution. But this help I was able to give was only one of many bonds between the Children's Bureau and the children of other lands. In the Bureau's 40 years, its four chiefs have helped to promote the health and welfare of the boys and girls in many other nations. We worked first through inter-American agencies, later through the League of Nations, and in recent years through the United Nations and the World Health Organization. As government bureaus go, our bureau is one of the smallest you'll find. But what it has lacked in numbers, it has tried to make up in the quality of its work. Some people call it the conscience of the American people toward their children. Others look to this bureau to be a kind of official spokesman for children. Throughout the years, we have done many jobs. We have turned our searchlights on conditions that are bad for children, so that the people may know the facts and correct them. We have brought together experts on child health and child welfare to draw up good standards of care. These we have published far and wide. We have sent our own experts out across the land to help public and private agencies serve children better. We have helped citizens win for their children greater protection through state legislation. We have worked to improve juvenile courts, our children's institutions, our hospitals, and our child health services. We have fought against child labor and helped to raise the standards of youth employment. I am told that life begins at 40. That may be true of adults. But for a children's bureau, I know that life begins every day and every year with each new crop of babies. And each new generation of babies brings its own new problems, which we take joy and satisfaction in helping to solve. The Children's Bureau welcomes your good wishes on its 40th birthday. I can assure you that we who work in the Children's Bureau will always strive to keep it the symbol of our nation's determination to foster and promote the well-being of children wherever they are, here and around the world.
Thank you, Dr. Elliott. Our eternal light drama today, A Token of His Presence, was written by Mark Siegel. It was presented in commemoration of the 40th birthday of the United States Children's Bureau and to mark the 5th anniversary of UNICEF, the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund. Alexander Skirby was the narrator. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.